Welcome back, folks, to When Radio Was, where it's time for our weekly visit with Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. Enjoy.
And now, Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. When Henry Foster and Dr. Bill Nelson left to investigate the trailer in which they think Peggy Cotter, former hired girl of old Ida Henderson, may be hiding, Jack Kelsey remained behind at Mary's office. Although Mary recently was furious at big, bluff Kelsey, she's finding it difficult to remain angry at anyone who refuses to take her anger seriously. And now Kelsey is saying...
Oh, now look, honey. Really, I'm a very nice guy.
It's nice that you admit it.
Why, sure, why not? The more I believe that myself, the more other people will believe it. Catch?
Uh-huh.
So let that ice melt a little and give Kelsey one of those big, radiant smiles.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Atta girl. Now look, what are the chances of giving me some of your time this evening, huh?
The chances are not good, Mr. Kelsey. In fact, they're practically non-existent.
Practically. Well, at least that gives me a vestige of a chance. You, know that I'm going back to New York tomorrow.
Oh?
And in view of your recent remark that you thought you could spare me an evening before I left, I'm making so bold, ma'am, as to ask you now.
I don't think I'm interested.
On account of my persuading Jim Drew to go out to Ida's farm and question her?
On account of your insisting that he walk right into her room and start questioning her after I'd specifically told you that Dr. Nelson wanted her kept very quiet.
Well, that was my mistake, I'll admit it, but what would you have done in my position? My boss was yelling his head off for me to send some stuff back to him. He wanted some action pictures as well as shots of the quilts.
Does your boss insist that you take pictures of sick people over and above a doctor's orders? He couldn't very well insist on that, I'm sure.
Lady, you've got me there. Against that one, I've got no defense. All I can say is I'd like very much for you to have dinner with me tonight. Well, you certainly can spare one evening. Why, you've got all the rest of your life to settle down with a doc.
What are you talking about?
No, hold everything. Don't get sore. Amelia Parrish told me you went for him in a big way, and, well, who am I to doubt her?
Well, Amelia Parrish talks altogether too much. But I don't see that that has any bearing on my going to dinner with you tonight. Frankly, I'm just not interested.
Mm-hmm. And after all I've done for your pal George Peters, too. Shame on you. Oh, which reminds me, I got a wire earlier this morning from the boss. I'll read it to you. We'll be glad to talk to Peters, Ray Job, with Pictures Weekly. Suggest he make it soon.
Let me see that. Well, gee, that sounds like good news for George. What does he have to say about it?
Oh, he doesn't know about this telegram yet. I haven't had a chance to look him up and tell him about it. I've got a pretty good idea. He'll be happy about it, though, from what he said before. He should be, anyway. It's a swell chance for him.
Oh, yes, it really is. Dad and I both appreciate what you've done for him in that respect.
Why, I'm a regular godfather to George. We're just like that.
Oh, one thing I do like about you is your modesty. It's so refreshing.
Isn't it, though? Now, look, how about it, Mary? Make the great Kelsey happy on the eve of his departure for the big city? Come and have dinner with him?
Well, I'm beginning to think that the quickest way to get you out of this office so that I can get some work done is to say yes.
Well, I'll call for you at your house about 7, okay?
All right. I'll be expecting you.
So that was Peggy Cotter, Henry.
Yes, sir, Doc, it was. I swear, I never expected that turn of events. Just kind of knocked the props right out from under me.
It was rather unexpected at that. That little bantamweight of a girl rushing to the peddler's defense. Why, I thought she was going to start throwing rocks at us.
Yes, sir. I wasn't so sure myself but what she would. Well, the first thing we better do, I guess, is to stop at Mary's office, and I'll telephone to Jim Drew. You can just drop me there if you will, Doc. I know you got to visit patients.
Well, I'll stop for a second.
Jesus, I don't know whether Jim's face is going to be redder than mine or vice versa.
I've got to admit your face was slightly crimson.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I'll bet Mary, she'll be some surprise when she hears the news, too.
Well, gentlemen, you got back from that trip very quickly.
Yes, we did. Mind if I use your telephone, Mary?
No, of course not, Dad. Go right ahead. But say, what happened? Did you find out who the woman in the trailer was?
Yeah.
Well?
We found out.
Hello. Will you give me Jim Drew's office, please? That's right.
Well, what's the joke, Bill? What are you grinning like that for?
Well, you see...
Hello, Jim.
Oh.
Henry Foster speaking. Oh, pretty good, but kind of embarrassed. No, I say I'm kind of embarrassed. Well, it's this way. Yesterday, Amelia, she got the idea of going over to the trailer park and interviewing some of the folks there, you know, for the Sentinel. Yeah. Well, there was only one trailer there, and Amelia, she was pretty certain that somebody was in it. But whoever it was wouldn't let her in. Wouldn't even answer a knock. So, just a few minutes ago, Doc Nelson and me, we figured we'd go over and see what was what.
Gosh, I wish you'd get to the point of this story.
Give him time.
Well, nobody answered our knock either. And then this peddler fella, he drove up in his car. What's his name now? Fella that sells face cream.
Willie Quinn.
Willie Quinn. So Doc and me, we asked if it was his trailer, and he said it was. And we suggested we'd like to look inside. Well, he refused to let us in. We had some words about it. And just then, Jim, the door flew open, and out come Peggy Carter, madder than blue blazes. And she lit into Doc and me for arguing with Willie. Yes, turned out he's her husband. Yeah. So I guess that kind of takes care of the Peggy Carter case. I guess so.
Time for a short break on Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. We'll be right back. And now the conclusion of this Mary Foster episode on When Radio Was.
All right, Jim.
Well, I had an idea all along that that might be the situation, Dad. Of course, I wasn't sure.
I didn't.
Well, you should have. Don't you remember Ida dropped a hint about that? Let's see now. Just exactly what was it she said? Oh, yes, now I remember. She said it wouldn't surprise her one bit if Peggy had gone and got married.
Well, doesn't it seem rather strange to think Ida would put up such a fuss over the mere fact of the girls getting married?
No, not at all. You see, Ida just has no use at all for men, generally speaking. She likes Dad and you, Bill, and George Peters well enough.
Well, she tolerates us.
Yes, that's it, Henry.
All right, then, she tolerates you. But the point is, she did her best to persuade Peggy not to marry that peddler. So, finally, the girl just got fed up with Ida's insistence and ran away with him, which was a defeat for Ida.
And because she doesn't like to be beaten at anything, she refused to talk about it.
Yes, exactly, Bill. She knew all the time that they'd been married, but she wouldn't tell anyone, not for the world.
Yeah, I guess that's the proper analysis. She was just plain stubborn. Well, anyway, now we know what's what. I can be getting back to the office to work.
Oh, that reminds me, Dad. And you'll be interested in this, too, Bill. George Peters may get a job with Pictures Weekly magazine.
Oh, is that so? Did George tell you that?
No, Jack Kelsey did. He had a wire from his boss in New York saying that he'd be glad to talk to George about a job, and the sooner the better.
Well, say, that sounds pretty favorable. Wouldn't you say so, Doc?
Yes, it does.
George is going to New York, of course, ain't he?
Well, I suppose he will. He'd be foolish not to. But when he was here, Jack hadn't shown him the telegram. It's an awfully good chance for him.
Yes, I should say it is. I'll be anxious to find out what George thinks of it. I can't say it's any great surprise, though, because, you know, the boy, he's got marked writing ability along certain lines. And, of course, it was just a question of time before some metropolitan newspaper or magazine picked him up. Say, Doc, can you wait just a second longer? I just happen to think I need some paper clips. It won't take me but a second to scoot over to the drugstore and get them.
Oh, go right ahead, Henry.
All right, I'll be back in just a jiffy.
I take it that you don't approve of George's going to New York, Bill?
No, I can't say I do. I believe I've expressed my feelings about that before, Mary. You see, at heart, George is a small-town person, despite the fact that he was born and brought up in a big city. But a city bewilders George. It always has, and I think it always will.
But, Bill, he can't give full scope to his talents in a town this size.
Is it better to hold the talents in check a bit and be content, or is it better to be able to use them fully and be miserable and unhappy?
Oh, I don't think George will be unhappy in New York. His work will keep him occupied.
Mary, I think I know George Peters as well as anyone does. A town of this size is just the place for him. There's no doubt whatsoever about that in my mind. George seems very self-sufficient, and he is up to a certain point, but beyond that, he needs encouragement and help, such as you and Henry have given him. Oh, I wish Kelsey'd never come to Valley Springs.
You don't like Jack, do you, Bill?
No, I definitely don't. However, my personal feeling for him is neither here nor there in this instance, and I shouldn't have made that remark. But, Mary, I hope you'll talk George out of going to New York.
I'm sorry, Bill, but I don't believe I can quite do that. or even consider doing it.
But it isn't as if he had to make a living. George has enough money of his own to get along on.
Yes, that's all very nice. But I do feel that he should have his chance to make more of himself than he can make here in Valley Springs. Then, if the job doesn't go well, or if New York proves to be too much for him, he can always come back here. Of course, if you want to talk to him about it, that's your privilege.
I think I will.
All right.
All ready, anytime you are, Doc.
Be right with you, Henry.
All right.
I don't think I'd be living up to my obligation as a friend of George's unless I did try to keep him from growing to New York. Well, so much for that. Next, it looks as if I'm going to have an available evening tonight, Mary, and I'm wondering if you care to go somewhere with me.
Oh, well, I'd love to, Bill, but I already have an engagement.
Oh, that's all right, I understand. It isn't with Kelsey, is it?
Yes.
Oh. Very well, Mary, I won't attempt to make any comment on that.
But it's very obvious that Dr. Bill Nelson doesn't like the idea of Mary's going out with Jack Kelsey. But what of Mary herself? Perhaps we'll learn more about this next time. Now, in just a moment, we'll hear from Henry Foster, who has a few words of homely philosophy for us. But first... bread. The brand new bread with a twist. And now, Henry Foster.
Say, here's one I heard. I thought I'd pass it along to automobile drivers. Goes like this. A minute lost at a railroad crossing may save all the rest of your time. See you soon. Bye.
It's Kroger for better values in famous foods. Yes, the wonderful foods you see advertised in Life magazine are featured in your neighborhood Kroger store. Shop at Kroger for better values. Be sure to listen tomorrow for another dramatic episode of Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter.
From the late 1940s, that indeed, Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter. We'll present another installment at the same time and day on your local radio station next week. I'm Greg Bell, and earlier we presented the spring 1953 Gunsmoke episode, Jayhawkers. When that script would be used for the TV version 4 years later, one of the supporting characters was played by actor Ken Curtis. Now, he later joined the regular cast as a replacement for the departing Dennis Weaver. Can you name his character? I'll let the answer then wrap up when radio was right after this.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
MusicRewind.com brings you 100 hits of the great crooners, a 4-CD collection of silky smooth original recordings sung by your favorite artists.
That music I hear, I get misty the moment you're near. Hey there.
Order 100 hits of the great crooners at MusicRewind.com or call 800-206-5002 today and save over 10% off the original price. Pay only $19.98, plus save on shipping. Just enter or mention promo code WOW77.
Why should it be true that I get a kick out of you?
Enjoy some of the greatest crooners of all time, including Bing Crosby, Tony Bennett, Nat King Cole, Ray Charles, Fred Astaire, Louis Armstrong, and so many more.
Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river.
Go to MusicRewind.com or call 800-206-5002 now to take advantage of this great offer. Use promo code WOW77 to save over 10% off the original price and get reduced shipping.
I'm crossing you in style someday. It's just the thought of you.
Don't wait. Call 800-206-5002 or go to MusicRewind.com to get 100 hits of the great crooners at the special price of only $19.98 and get a bonus on shipping. Remember promo code WOW77 to get this amazing deal. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman. How we pay for goods and services online and at retail is evolving, fusing convenience with security. Visa's Mark Nelson, head of consumer payment products, says Visa recently announced 7 new and exciting technologies. Mark shared a couple with me here.
But we've introduced a flexible credential whereby a single card can be what you want it to be depending on the transaction type. We've also introduced this concept of a passkey, and it's all around how do we make payments safer and easier to use online. We also announced a thing called a data token, which allows the customer to get a little bit more control in terms of where they want to share their data. So if they want to share data with a third party, they can enable a better shopping experience all through AI. And it's a way in which the consumers can have a little bit more control over who they share their data with.
More info is at Visa.com. That's simply Visa.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Welcome back to When Radio Was. Before we took a break, I was talking about actor Ken Curtis. Now, he played a few different roles on TV's Gunsmoke before getting a full-time gig, hired to play Marshall Dillon's deputy, Festus Hagen, following the departure of Deputy Chester Good, played by Dennis Weaver. I'm Greg Bell, and we're out of time, but hey, take a little time and visit us at the website. It's whenradiowas.com. And until next time, I bid you farewell.
When Radio Was is presented by RadioSpirits.com. This is your announcer, Bart Taylor.